Morning, Happy New Year. It's nice to be. It's funny, like, so Melissa and I were away for one Sunday. I still feel like I've been gone for weeks. Just the holidays just get so full and busy. I'm happy to be back with the family here. That's what I'm saying this morning. This morning, first Sunday of 2020, we like to do this. Each year, Daryl kind of announced this last Sunday, but we like to take this Sunday to hear from, not from one person at the front, but to hear from each other as a body, what do we feel the Lord is saying for 2020, for this year? What do we want to leave room for the prophetic word? Like, what is God speaking to us? And the thing I love about it is that so often there's a thread. He's speaking something consistent in different ways to a number of us, and I see that again this morning. So we have a bunch that we'll have up to share. The one thing I always kind of wrestle with is what order do we put these in? And like I said, we have a number that we'll share, and so this morning, actually, I'll just say this real quick. I want to start with Marichal, and then Michelle. and then Maddie and Elsa Marie. We'll go kind of in that order to start, and then pull in some others. But so Marichal, if you want to come on up, that'd be great. But I just want to pray to start. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness in how you've gathered us and how you've led us as a body. We thank you that you said you do nothing without first revealing it to your people, to your servants, the prophets. You do nothing without telling us first. And no big thing. And I thank you that you speak to us constantly. You are always showing us what you have coming around the corner. We thank you for your faithfulness in that. And so, Lord, we ask that this morning you would give us ears to hear what you're saying. And Lord, we ask that you'd help our hearts to be open and receptive to what you want to do in our midst this year and in our lives. Lord, we ask that we would be pliable this year, that we would be willing to respond and not just be hearers of the word, but doers. When you speak, that we would respond with faith and with action. And so, Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come and speak, to come and reveal the thoughts and plans of the Father's heart for us this year, and would you make Jesus known in our midst even as we hear what you have to say to us, and would you release your voice even more in our midst. We thank you that the promise of Joel was that you would, in the last days, you would pour out your spirit on all flesh, and that dreams and visions and prophecy would explode. And so, Lord, we ask that you would pour out your spirit in a greater measure for us.
Yeah.
And that you would increase prophetic revelation in our company. Yeah. Would you increase dreams? Would you increase visions? Would you increase pictures, words? Would you make us a people who recognize your voice and who freely release it and freely share it with one another? So, Holy Spirit, just come and have your way. Speak, reveal Jesus, and would you lead our hearts into faith in the beginning of this year, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Marshall, yeah, just take a couple minutes to share what you're wanting to go with.
So lately I find myself in a season of life that I didn't expect to be in at this point. I don't know, I'm sure many of us have felt that feeling, that the time that you're at in life is not where you expected to be in life at this point. And for me, when I have that sensation, I feel like, okay, there's something getting in the way of my life that I need to get through so that I can carry on with normal life. It's like it's an obstacle you have to, like, just get over, and then life continues. And I'm starting to realize, like, God's starting to speak to me that those things in life are not obstacles to your life. They are your life as well. The seasons that you go through are not things getting in the way of, like, people use the term, like, living your best life. Like, the life that you are living is your life. I don't know if this is, like, I hope it's not going over your heads. But I have a tendency to want to skip over the bad parts so I can get back to where I belong. Just, like, on the high road, like, that's where I like to be. And lately I've been feeling like I've been wanting to walk on the high road, but it's like I'm like running up a muddy hill. Like I just am like in the slop, like trying to get my way up to the high road. And I've kind of accepted to be in the mud for a little while. And God's been teaching me through this about being with him, about his presence being with me, and about journeying with him. And it's this thing of journeying that I feel like he's calling us to as a church body. There's times when I feel like, especially if I'm in a weird place with God, I feel like I have to figure out my stuff with God before I can return to him. And he's kind of been teaching me that I figure that stuff out with him, face to face. That's the way you figure out stuff about God, is by talking with him and asking him. So I just kind of want to read from Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. When I read those verses, my mind goes to heaven, that I'm here on earth longing for heaven. But God's been teaching me that his dwelling place is where I am. He has made me his dwelling place. And so wherever I am, if it's a place that looks heavenly or a place that looks like hell, that is God's dwelling place. Even the sparrow has found a home for the swallow and a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. That doesn't mean blessed are those who go to church. That's what I often think of. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. When I think of that, I think that there's some people out there who have the strength, that when they walk through the valley, springs are popping up, flowers are growing. They're just these magical people that they walk through and it's all good. And I have not felt like one of those people. It says that they go from strength to strength. And so I feel like instead of walking through the valley, I'm trying to jump from one side to the other side just to get over it, just to go from strength to strength. But that's not what it's saying. It's saying, blessed are those whose strength is in you, God, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. And that pilgrimage, like that's the word journey. The people whose hearts are set on journeying with God, they're the ones who go from strength to strength. They're the ones who can walk through the valley of weeping and springs are popping up. Life is coming. Because when you're in the valley, but you know God's with you, there's life in there.
Yeah.
That's why you can walk through.
Yeah.
It's not because you're a magical person who can bring springs to life. It's because of the person who's within you.
Yeah.
Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. That's not a blameless walk because you're good at walking life. That's a blameless walk because Jesus has made you clean because of his blood and because of his body. And so those who spend the days in his courts, whether the courts is a heavenly place or a hellish place, when you bring the courts of God to your life and to your journey, that's where the life comes from. No good thing does he withhold. That's his presence, his continual presence that is with you. And so I feel for this year that he's calling us to pilgrimage and to journey. And all he means by that is to know that he is with you when you walk. When you walk through the valley, when you walk on the high ground, the beauty in that is that you're walking with him.
It's been about 6 years since I've been able to ask the Lord for a word for my family. And I think that was just because a lot of the words I thought or I believed God had spoken seemed to come crashing in. And I'm seeing now that his promise is still his promise, no matter what else happens. But as I was praying, I listened to this song, and it's called Gold. It's a spontaneous song, and it has like five lines in it, and I just wanted to share with you what I think it meant for me and my family, and also for our NCC family. So it says, in his presence all things are made whole. And it made me think of John 6:35. This is from the Passion Translation. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Come every day to me and you will never be hungry. Believe in me and you will never be thirsty. And the second line is, what the enemy meant for destruction, you turn it for your glory. And I think that I've seen this in my life over and over and over again. Then it says, you're healing our wounds with gold, making all things beautiful. And Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. I've often thought of Jesus' wounds as being beautiful, but I had never thought of my scars being beautiful. And that's, of course, if we let him heal us, because it's not a scar until we're healed, right? And then I felt like the next line is a confession for this year. It says, we shall behold our scars turn gold. And I just felt like I need to say that every day over myself, over my family, over our church family. If we receive this word individually as families or corporately as a church, that this should be our confession. We shall behold our scars turn gold. And then the last line, he says, years and years of pain and tears, and he's making something beautiful. Not all of us can say that we've had years and years of pain and tears, but it's been my observation that if you're willing to leave everything to follow Jesus, you will have your share of pain and tears in this life. And there is a history that I wasn't a part of, but that I've prayed alongside NCC for quite some time, and I know that there is a history here of pain and tears, and I'm believing that he's going to make something beautiful out of that. And finally, this is a spontaneous prophetic song. It was recorded a couple of years ago, but it's still carrying an anointing, and the Holy Spirit is speaking through it. Recently, we have had many prophetic songs released in our worship here, and I believe God is saying to us, at least to me, to pay attention to those messages coming forth. So we're going to play the song now. Thank you.
our suffering. In Jesus' mighty name.
Elsemarie, I'm going to get you to come up here and get you to hold audible. And then Debbie, how will you share after Elsemarie? Okay? So yes, I hear this thing of this journeying through seasons, whether, you know, seasons that don't look like what we think our life should look like. And, you know, speaking of taking the things that happen to us or that we pick up in those seasons and turning them into gold. And so, I, you know, we kind of have that thread there, but I like where it kind of turns here. And so, for me, if you share what you got.
Yeah.
Brad asked if I had something to share for the year, and I already felt I did, about joy. And I still kind of like to talk about joy. But I felt God drop the word in my spirit, and a couple of days ago we did, and I couldn't remember it. It's ridiculous. We were walking, Fred and I. We were talking. I said, "I feel something is coming here. I feel there's something here," you know. And I couldn't remember it afterwards. I couldn't remember it till this morning. So I feel like I'm not gonna preach, but I'm just gonna share. And the word is faithfulness. It's about being faithful. And it's like faithful. It's like this thing of being full of faith. It's almost like two sides to faithfulness. When I hear the word faithfulness, I think of being consistent and showing up and that kind of a thing. I kind of forget about the full of faith part. You know, and God is faithful. And to be faithful is one of the fruit of the spirits. And there's just two scriptures I want to share about faithfulness. And one is in Lamentation 3:22. "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him." God is faithful. Another word like that describes faithfulness is firm in allegiance. Ooh, isn't that good? Firm in allegiance. And what is that? That's like, whoa, now it's getting strong. There's something here. And I think of that when, like, I think back on the year past and not just this past year. And Michelle, you talk about kind of more the distant past, maybe, and yes, there's been pain and there's been hard times, and, you know, where things have not felt good, and it wasn't appealing to be faithful, you know. But God is still faithful. He's always faithful. He's always full of faith.
Yeah.
Okay, full of faith in what?
Yeah.
In himself? Yes, because he knows who he is. But he's also full of faith in us.
Yeah.
He doesn't see our shame. He doesn't see it. He believes in us. He's full of faith. He's faithful. And he's calling us to be faithful, to be found, to be here. Whatever that means.
Yeah.
Be here.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like there's something, like, faithfulness is not a test. Sometimes we can think, oh, I gotta be faithful, you know. It's like something like it's a test. It's not a test. Faithfulness is not a test, Elsemarie. It's like faithfulness is where the blessing of God comes. Faithfulness is where he can bless. Like, there are times where God can't bless. It takes time to build that flow, that route, that groove, that whatever it is, that his blessing and his goodness and his love and his grace flows in. I believe that it's called faithfulness. There's something there. And it's so easy to forget. It's so easy to think, oh, what does that mean? To show up for a prayer meeting. I can. It's 3 people in prayer. What does it mean a gang? Throw up, show up for church or show up for whatever, visit a friend or what? Like, there's something about that, being faithful. And also that word about what's in your hand has come to me, that God spoke to Moses. Because I think change is coming for us as a church. I think it's obvious in various ways, geographically, structurally, whatever. I think change is here. And I think this word of faithfulness, I feel, is like, it's a word for us. Let's be faithful. Let's be full of faith. Let's be believing believers, because there surely are unbelieving believers. Let's not be them.
Yeah.
Let's not be them. Let's believe God. Let's be, like you said, Brandy, let's believe God. Let's believe He's God. Let's believe He can actually entrust the things to us He wants to. But we need to be faithful. We need to be full of faith. We need to be there. We need to be in our spot, wherever it is, you know. And I just want to encourage us all in this. And I read a really, I thought it was a funny little quote. Let me see if I can find it. There it is. And, like, it's easy to kind of give up and think, oh, yeah, it's all true. I've heard it before. And I just read this little quote. It said, people often say that motivation doesn't last. Well, neither does bathing. That's why we recommend it daily. So, be encouraged. Let's keep encouraging each other. To joy, to faithfulness, to love, to grace. All these things that He's called us to. And let's be faithful, because He is full of faith.
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
Why would you say that? So I feel the same word of contending for this year, but I just had a picture of history, the arc of history, and God's story and what He's doing and His purposes throughout the generations. And I'd just like you to look around at each other here, like literally look around, because God chose you, each one of you, to be here in 2020 to contend for this time in history. Each one of you was woven in your mother's stomach for this time. So let that settle in. Nobody else but you. And God comes in history with His kairos times, and there's times in history where there's He was quiet. There's times of slavery, and there's times of Moses where there's great where He comes down with great actions. But there's also times of slavery, hundreds of years where His people were in captivity. But within those moments, even in those moments, you see little snippets of a Daniel who contended for his generation in slavery. And he actually didn't have like an amazing life in this. If you look at how long his life was, what did he do? He was faithful in praying, in worshiping. But because he did that, and because he contended in his place in history, God actually was able to display his splendor at that time when they ended up in the fiery pit. So we know that story and we think, oh, what an amazing story. But actually, that's just one Kairos moment in the life of Daniel. But that was built on faithfulness to contend daily. Are we contending daily? Are we faithful to take our place in this generation? And it's not in this amazing, we don't have to compare each other. We don't. Because it's in this simply contending where I'm at for what work I'm at, what family God's put me into, what country he's put me into, what neighbors he's placed beside me. It's simple. Yeah. It's very simple. Am I contending? That's all I need to do. And our actions and our decisions reveal God to our broken world. It's simple. And so I believe we're going to see more people this year rising up within our mundane to walk in a greater mandate, to see it and believe it. And I felt the same thing as Marichal of life isn't what we expected, and this year was proof of it for us. Sometimes we expect to have the job that we had. We expected to see it go longer. We expected to have a certain person beside us longer. We expected to have our house. We expected a certain retirement. We expected a certain health. We expected peace and safety, and yet maybe war, maybe accidents happen. We expected loyalty of friends, and maybe we got betrayed. But it is how fast we can recalibrate our disappointments to look to God that truly reveal God on earth in this season.
Yeah.
We are living in his kingdom. By living in his kingdom and embracing his mandate for our life, for this time in history. Why is our testimony so important? And this is a verse I keep coming back to. He is overcome, so in our generation, by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Why? Because testimony is a word, and it's word made flesh.
Yeah.
I'm walking it.
Yeah.
So each moment, right now, each song in worship, each prayer, each decision I make to glorify him in the moment, that is a weighty, that is my testimony. So our testimony is his kingdom principles lived out in our generation today. We have the, so nobody, any of you who feel like, well, I'm just, you know, I just do my little thing, I don't have this great testimony. That is, no, God chose you and your testimony counts. So let's stand up. Let's stand up and be the testimony he called us to be, the mandate he put on your life.
Mm-hmm.
So it is God. So that is God entering our mundane and revealing his bigger mandate to our generation, to our neighbors, to our family, to our friends. It's his love displayed. It's his provision experienced. His peace reigning over our fears, our pain, whatever situation, our disappointments. So let's contend together this year for God to be revealed through us.
Yeah.
Let's all sign our name, each one of us, to our neighbors, our community, our work, our schools, our families, our nation. Let's contend in prayer and make this year count.
Hard act to follow. I want to share with you that long time ago, when I was a young man and first came in any revelation of the prophetic, I was taught that you just share what God puts on your heart, and you might not get the full picture, all right? And that's why I like this, because as a body, we get this stuff. And so if you're a note taker, take some notes, because I haven't got all this. Some of it's kind of been like a couple of you said, woke up this morning, and all of a sudden something just kind of jumped, and I probably need to take more time to really ponder it, but I'm going to share a little bit of it. Anyways, I asked the Lord for a word in early December, and I asked him for a word. He was true to that. Word he gave to me was mobilize. Whether that makes a lot of sense to anyone, I like to kind of compare it with Debbie's word about contending. Need to mobilize, and I looked it up. Couldn't find a lot of really good practical meanings to it in the dictionary, but the ones I found, a couple of them were to organize or prepare something, such as a group of people for a purpose, and to prepare to fight, especially in a war, to organize people to support something or to make a part of an organization ready for a special purpose. I feel like there's something in that the Lord would say to us. And having said that, it's not because we haven't done things and we haven't prepared. I just think there's a new level, just as Debbie said, new level of contending for these things. The worldly view, but it says to get ready for a special purpose. The special purpose should always be as Christians, right? Just to share the gospel, to share our testimony, share whatever it is to meet people. And so out of that, this whole mobilize thing, I didn't get a whole lot else, so write it down and kind of ask God, what's mobilize mean? But the other part that I did in just the last couple of days, I kept reading. It just seemed like I tripped over this somehow, but I was reading back again the word in Genesis that talks about digging up the old wells. And I'm convinced that part of the word last year for us was there was going to be some new songs and worship, an elevated level of worship. And I just keep getting that again, that God wants to bring to this house an elevated place of worship and a digging up of old wells, as it were. In some essence, is that place. This was a house that was known as a worshiping place. Not that we're not now, but there was songs coming forth, there was worship leaders going out in different places, and I just feel like that's part of that. But there's a second part, and I want to be careful in this, and this is where I need some help. But this morning I was reading out of this translation, it's the New King James, and it said in that story that these guys went and they dug a couple of wells, right? They dug up Abraham's, Isaac went and he dug up Abraham's old wells. And the first two wells, it says they dug up, they had a fight with the other herdsmen. And it said that, you know, they ended up calling them contention, and they called them argument. These were the names they put on the wells. And then in verse 22 of that chapter of 26 in Genesis, it said, abandoning that one, he dug another. I just want to say that maybe it's time that we abandon digging up some of the parts of the wells that we, you know, we and I want to continue with this, that and I'm as guilty of this as others, is we revisit that place when all this happened and all this is our history. And it said, when they dug the last well, he said he dug another well, the local people left him alone, and Isaac called it room enough. And he said, at last the Lord has made room for us, and we will be able to thrive. I feel like that's a word for us as a house, okay? I feel like, you know, I almost want to take the at last, because I think God's been making a room for us and before this, but regardless, said room enough, and he's made room for us, and we will thrive. And I just feel like when I read that this morning, I just felt like, you know, I want to dig up those wells, but I want to take the good parts out of them. You know what I mean? That place of worship and places of prayer and places of the depth of the word and those sort of things that were good in those places, but kind of somehow, you know, that God would shield us from carrying any of the rest of that stuff, and just recognize that word where he said we'll be able to thrive. He's made room for us and we'll be able to thrive. So basically, that's the most of what I got. The other part in the mobilizing, contending, is again, I'm reminded again of Jehoshaphat and that whole concept. We need to remember. I think we need to remember the story. I think every time we preach about worship, we tell the story. Someone tells the story because it's a good story. Jehoshaphat's got the army right, and they're all ready to go to war. And I don't know how many guys are battling, like a sea full of guys out here, and there's only so many of them. And they kind of get ready to go out to battle. And God says to Jehoshaphat, send the worshipers out first. That's you know, it seems like an odd thing. You're facing guys with spears and knives and you know, all kinds of equipment. And you send the worship. If you're one of the worshipers, you better have, you know, the faith we talked about, right? Because you're getting sent out in front of, you know, based on Jehoshaphat. You better believe he was back behind all the, he had his own, what they call him, you know, the armor bearer. Guy standing in front of him while the worshipers are going out front. But the point was that as it turned out, the whole of the army, the opposing army, turned on themselves and killed one another. And the battle was won by the worshipers going out in front. I think it's just part of that mobilizing and part of the contending is in our worship. And so I just, wanted to share that. So with that, I'll just leave it to people to think that through.
I'll just share something quick, and then Maddie, we'll close with yours, because I like yours. Through all these ones that have come out, I was just reminded of in Deuteronomy 28. So Moses is speaking to all of Israel. They're in the desert. They're about to go into the promised land, and Deuteronomy, like Moses, is reminding Israel of all that God has done in them and through them and for them. And in chapter 28 is where God says, okay, so these are the blessings that'll be yours if you obey, if you follow my word. And towards the end of it, in verse 13, he makes a statement. It says, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you'll be above only and not be beneath. And I'm just reminded of that in all these words of journeys and difficult seasons and contending and faithfulness and all of this. And I just... This thing of being the head and not the tail does not mean we have, like Marichal said, just the life is always good. That's not what that means. What it means is, when I think of a dog, when I hear head and not the tail, I picture a dog. And the tail has no say in where it's going. Like, life happens to the tail, right? But the head decides. The head influences, you know, it doesn't necessarily have control over what happens, but the head dictates where it goes and how it responds. And I just have this sense of, it's like the Lord's calling us to step up and be the head in our own lives and not the tail. Like, no matter what seasons we walk through in this year, or that we have walked through in the past, we can dictate how we walk through them. Amen. By how we contend, by how we move forward. Do we take everything as a victim and get beaten down by it? Or do we actually choose how we respond? Right? And he's given us all sorts of tools as to how to do that. And so, and the other thing I just want to add is, so we got an email from Mark Soppet last night. Just him sharing a word he felt for us for this year. And a lot of it we'll share with the leadership team and so on. I think a lot of it is for there, but one of the things he said in there is, he said, contend for, he used that word contend, and remind each other of Isaiah 61. Mm. Remind each other. And for me, Isaiah 61 is, in a lot of ways, is God's answer to these difficult seasons and these difficult challenges that we may walk through. And I want to read this again, and I want to remind us of this, because again, from a number of outside voices, he's spoken this passage over us. That this is what he wants to release through us. And so this morning I want to remind us of Isaiah 61. I want to remind us to contend for this. This is, when we hear these words, contend, 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 this is one of the things we contend for. It's one of the things and by contend, I mean we ask God for it over and over again. It's like, I picture, the picture I go to with contending is Jacob. And you remember the story of Jacob wrestling the angel of the Lord? And how it was when he was going back to Esau, and he was afraid that Esau was going to try to kill him, and he sent, like, all these gifts of livestock and money and everything, and he sent all his family and wives, sent everyone across the river first, and then on the banks of the river, before he went across himself, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and he wrestled, like he fought with the angel of the Lord for the entire night. Like, how exhausting would that be to wrestle an angel? Like, just one that probably doesn't get very tired, you know? Just whatever, you're at a severe disadvantage. He wrestled him all night and wouldn't let go until he got the answer he was looking for. And there's this thing of it's not a thing of overcoming God, like trying to convince God to do something because he doesn't want to do it, but it's this thing of he wants us to lay hold of him and wrestle with him for it. Like it's a thing, what that does in us is it causes us to value it more when it's something we have to go after. If we just, you know, ask, you know, throw the prayer in the microwave and 10 seconds later we have it, there's no value to it. Right? Like, if you... Anyways, I won't go there. So, let's wrestle for Isaiah 61 this year. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and the opening of prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That's what he wants to do through us. They'll rebuild old ruins. They'll raise up former desolations. They'll repair ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers will stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner will be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you will be named the priests of the Lord. They will call you the servants of our God. You will eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will have double honor. And instead of confusion, they'll rejoice in their portion. Instead of confusion, you'll rejoice. Therefore in their land they shall possess double, everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth and will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants will be known among the Gentiles and their offspring among the people. All who see them will acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. All who see them, like the testimony of them, the testimony of us will be that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. And with this, Maddie, come on up. It says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness. And as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. The end result of all the things that he says he's going to do, the preaching good tidings to the poor, the healing the brokenhearted, all these things, the result of this is what it's unto is him clothing us with salvation extravagantly. Like him adorning our lives extravagantly with salvation and causing righteousness and praise to spring forth. Yeah. Just this explosion of life and joy and praise is the portion that he has for us. This is Isaiah 61. This is what he's saying. This is one of the things he's saying. Contend with me for this. Come after me for this. Yeah. He wants to give it. And the fact that he doesn't give it lightly tells me he has lots of it to give. And so, Maddie, close with what you got.
So, I, as I was
praying and thinking about this morning and this next year, I had a picture of God like gathering children and like wrangling them in. And I was thinking about, like, it's funny that I had that picture because I'm going back to work tomorrow and that's my life at work. And if you've ever had kids or been a teacher or whatever, like, you know what it's like to wrangle a group of children. It's like messy, they're all everywhere, and some of them are over there. And yeah, and so I saw this picture of God gathering children, and it was our church, it was us. And once he got us all close, he said something, and then everyone broke out into dancing, including him. And everyone's twirling and dancing, and like, it's, yeah, like, I see that, and I think about, like, my life and my childhood, and I feel like that's what I did when I was a kid. Like, I would spin in my kitchen when my mom was baking for, like, an hour, and I don't know, like, that is, like, a kid thing to do. And so yeah, that was the picture. And I just, two scriptures came to mind. One of them, which is right before what Randy read earlier, in Mark 10. It says, "And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, 'Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.' And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them." And yeah, that I think connects to a lot of what was said this morning. I think of the faith that my mom spoke of believing God, and children believe what they hear and they don't question things. And then another passage that came to mind was in Psalm 61, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And I think that as we do that, like as Marichal was sharing about the valleys, when we're in those valleys, like the thing that we're supposed to do is go to God. And that's not what we feel we want to do. That's not the thing that is easy to do. But yeah, I'm just going to read some of Psalm 61. It says, "Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings, for you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name." And I just feel as we do that in the valley and through darkness, as we ask God to lead us to the rock that is higher than where we are, that's where we will dance, and that's where he'll bring joy, and Isaiah 61, and yeah, that's all.
All right, so with that, let's stand. We'll wrap up this morning. And I hope you've caught it too. Like, just I see this thread, this thing he's saying of not just pressing through and like trying to endure seasons we've had or seasons we may have, but this thing of contending and coming and pressing through with strength, not as victims, but as those expecting God to move and to heal and to restore and to bring joy in life where there was difficulty and pain. And so just in closing, Maddie, could you just pray and just, yeah, ask him to release what you saw? So that's our portion. Our portion is we're children of God. We're children of the Father who is full of joy. And that's his portion for us. Yeah. And so, if you could just pray to release that. Mm-hmm.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here in this place. And we thank you, Lord, for the words that you've spoken this morning. Lord, I thank you for this new year and this new season that we are in. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to speak to us and continue to reveal your heart
for us here at NCC and in our communities and in this city. And yeah, Lord, we just thank you for what you have done. We thank you for what you have brought to our family here in this church. We thank you for the healing and the freedom and the chains that you've broken. And Jesus, we ask that you would continue to do that. Lord, that you would continue to heal our hearts here, that you would bring your freedom here in our family, and that it would go out into this city and into our nation. And yeah, Lord, we just thank you that you bring beauty from ashes. Lord, that you bring joy from mourning. Lord, that you have a beautiful exchange. Lord, that you give us things that are beautiful for our garbage. And yeah, Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here. We thank you that you have spoken, and we just we just surrender our lives and our year to you, Jesus. I pray that you continue to lead us and walk with us, and that we would find joy this year. Lord, I just pray that there would be dancing here in this place. Lord, that you would fill our hearts as we gather here. And even when we're not here, when we're together and we gather other places, Lord, I just pray that you would fill us with your Spirit, and that we would dance, and that we would overflow with joy and the life that you've bought for us.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you. Amen. So with that, we'll close this morning. We got the usual tea, coffee, stuff in the back. Stick around, chat, you know, fellowship, and it's a reminder, there's the sign up sheet if you want to host an in-home potluck. I encourage you to sign up today, and let's start the year off with more community. Thanks, have a great day.
Hey, buddy.